Genesis 16, verses 7 to 11. God's call to sinners. Hagar is running away. She's been ill-treated by Sarai in verse 6. And so Hagar fled from her mistress. She fled from her. We read in verse 7, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. Ishmael means God hears. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. Genesis 16, verses 7 to 11. God's call to sinners. Now, this is extraordinary, very much as the previous chapters with Abraham, or as he was then, Abraham, and the great covenant and the promises that God made are extraordinary to Abraham now. But nevertheless, as I tried to bring out principles of the gospel there, so it is here. God's call to sinners in the way he deals with Hagar here. Of course, he's running away, and there's the promise here of this boy, and God will use him and make him into a great people with much suffering, of course, and all that. But all that is extraordinary. But there are certain things here that apply in the gospel, in God's call to sinners. I put four things to you. The first thing is that God, through his angel, God, the Lord, finds, knows Hagar. The angel of the Lord found Hagar. Well, he knew where she was, of course. God is sovereign. He knows where she is. He sees what's been going on. He understands that she's running away in fear. But he finds her. God finds her. That's the same with sinners, my friend, today. It's the same with every believer who's listening to me. God found you, didn't he? Sometimes we speak about the fact that we have found God, we have found Christ. But the truth is, Christ found us. You see, God sees and understands. Unbeliever, are you listening to this? You cannot escape from God. You cannot hide from God. You cannot run from God. You cannot pull a veil over so God can't see you. Read Psalm 139. The darkness won't hide from you. You can go where you like in the world. You can go where you like and do what you like. But God sees. God finds. God has found out every one whom he has called to Jesus Christ to be saved. He found us where we are. It's not so dramatic as Hagar, no. But nevertheless, he found us in our lost estate. And he came to us there. He knows, you see. That's the first point. God knows you now, unbeliever. You may pretend, you may laugh, you may scoff, you may mock. But God sees you. God knows you at this very moment. And he sees you. He knows what's in your heart and in your mind. The second point is this. He not only finds, that is, he knows, but he probes, he questions. Verse 8. What are you doing here? Where have you come from? And where are you going? Two very important questions. Where have you come from? And where are you going? This reminds me of Genesis 3. It's God's way. Straight out of the fall, God comes out questioning Adam. Adam, where art thou? It's not because God doesn't know. It's quite the opposite. God knows. God sees. But he's making the man know. He's making the man see. He's making Hagar feel it here. That's the same with you, unbeliever. God will come to you. He'll make you feel your sin. He'll make you understand something about your condition. And he does it by these two questions. Where have you come from? That's a very important question. And the second is even more important. Where are you going? Where are you going now? At this very moment. Are you driving along, going to work? What next? Well, I'm going on vacation, holiday. What next? Well, work again. Well, what next? Well, eventually I should retire. What next? You'll have to come eventually to the fact that you die. What next? Well, that's the end. No, it's not. Then the death, then the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And then what next? Where are you going? Where are you going? A vast eternity stretches before you. God brings his home to sinners. He's never brought it home to me. Are you saying that? Then what a terrible, pitiful condition you are in. Blessed be God. He brought this home to Hagar. Where she had come from. And above all, where was she going? He makes sinners think, you see. See what God does when he calls sinners. He makes them think. He makes them feel. The devil wants you to be unfeeling. He doesn't want you to think. You see, I know you think you are the great thinkers and we believers are the unthinking people. It's quite the opposite. You're dead in sins. You're asleep. You're sleepwalking. And God comes in the gospel and he probes sinners and he questions them. He alarms them. He awakens them. Where are you going? Where have you come from? Above all, where are you going, my friend? And then he commands Hagar. Verse 9. Go back to your mistress and submit to her. This is another principle I see worked out in the gospel. There are a host of commands. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is his commandment that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me and be saved. Come unto me, all the ends of the earth. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a host of commands in the gospel. I've rattled off a few. God commands all men everywhere to repent. You now. He commands sinners to look to Christ. He invites sinners to come to Christ to be saved. He's commanding, inviting you, unbeliever, even at this very moment in this gospel address. And straight away, he goes on to promise. In verse 10, the angel added, I will so increase your descendants and so on, that they'll be too numerous to count. It's extraordinary. It's particular for Hagar, yes, but there's a principle here. God comes with a host of commands in the gospel, but he comes to you, unbeliever, with a host of promises too. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Listen to the promise. That's the command. I will give you rest. Look unto me. There's the command. And be saved. There's the promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. There's the promise. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, said Jesus. These four principles I see in the gospel call. God knows, he sees, he finds the sinner. He probes, he questions, he awakens, he alarms the sinner. He makes a sinner think. He commands the sinner, invites the sinner, to come unto Jesus Christ to be saved. And he promises grace, mercy, forgiveness, the cleansing from sin, peace with himself, and everlasting life to all who do so come. God sees, God knows, God probes, God questions, God commands, and he promises to every sinner. He's doing it now to you, my friend. He knows you, he probes you, he commands you, he invites you, and he makes promises to you. I say again, of course, it's all extraordinary, but your conversion will be extraordinary. Every conversion is a miracle. And here are the principles of the gospel. And your name is on them, you know. Oh, yes. Your name is on them. Let me illustrate. If I should say, well, if this in the Bible said, my name is David H.J. Gay, as you know. If it said, well, this is addressed to David H.J. Gay. If David H.J. Gay will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be saved. Well, that'd be assurance for me, wouldn't it? That'd be encouragement for me. No, no, no. I happen to know there's an author in Canada called David Gay, and I'm sure there's many other people in the world, several others, called David H.J. Gay. Which one of them is it? But there is no name on it. And yet there is a name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, now there's my name, and what's more, my friend, I got no hesitation in saying to you, whoever you are, wherever you are, in what part of the world you're living now, whenever you hear this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that means you, if you will believe, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's call to sinners. God's call to you, my friend. Now, are you listening? He knows you. He probes you. He commands you. He invites you. And he promises everlasting salvation if you come to him trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So come, come, come now, I plead with you.